for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, February the 16th, 2013. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on Tools for These Times.
Let her rip, sister.
Okay, I'm going to start with this. Sun, stand thou still, and moon over Lake Hamilton Bible Camp.
Amen.
So what he gave me can be said.
Yes.
I'm not making any promises. You're going to be so excited when this is over, you're not going to be able to sleep.
I'm not intimidated.
Me either. I can tell some story. You know, I said a while ago, I should have broken the familiar spirit off of Tammy, my familiar spirit, because I had 3 babies in 3 years, and the first time she came here, I don't know what I was teaching on, but it had something to do. I talked about the birth control pill and all this stuff, you know, and so Tammy comes up to me afterwards. Now, mind you, I had 3 babies in 3 years, sent my husband to the veterinarian. Then I went to the psychiatrist. Literally. I'm not joking about that. You haven't heard that story. But anyway, Tammy came up to me and I said, well, do you think, I mean, I'm on the birth control pill. Do you think I should get off of it? I said, yes. Now that I've had all my babies. I said, no, Tammy. That's not what I told her. I said, you and your husband need to pray about it and let God direct you. See, I'm not going to make decisions for other people because the convictions that God gives me, I can't put on you, you know, and I don't let other people put their convictions on me either. If you know me very well, you know that. I don't let other people put their convictions on me. I always say, I plead the fifth. What is that? Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which thou hast received in Christ Jesus, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That is the Christian fifth. The fifth. I plead the fifth. But anyway, it's been a delight. I was sitting there thanking God. I was not bothered at all, but I love to hear people's testimony. And you don't just have a testimony. You know, a lot of people think your testimony is when you got saved. Every word you speak is a testimony. We get victory over the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is not the day we got saved. It's every word that comes out of our mouth. What you say is a testimony. So remember that. Y'all have almost preached what I had to say. My husband, I heard Mike say, not preach, teach. My husband has a real problem with the word preach. But I looked it up. Honey, it means sharing the good news of the gospel. There you go. Okay, well, let's start with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I bind every spirit that would hinder or block the truth of your word getting to the hearts and the ears and the minds and the spirits of all of those who are sitting here today. I bind every religious spirit, every tradition that makes the word of God of no effect. I bind it and break it now in Jesus' name. And I bind every spirit of Antichrist in the name of Jesus. Every Antichrist spirit, I bind you and break your power right now in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of the witch, the wizard, the warlock, and the witch doctor. I bind every spirit working from the kingdom of darkness in Jesus' name. I send out the warring angels right now to scramble the plans and the assignments that he has for each one of your lives. I scramble it now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for you. We thank you for your life and for your word, the word that is your power. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love deliverance. You know, even the people that just have known me since I've been coming to Lake Hamilton can tell you I'm a different woman. than I was when I first started coming because of deliverance. First time I came here was 2001, and I have been to almost every single camp since then because I want to sit under the ministry of deliverance because I get delivered of stuff I didn't even know was there. So never think, oh, well, that's not me, because you really don't know what is in you. And then I'll go home and something will happen. I'll go, hey, that was different. I got delivered of something. You don't even have to know what it is. But as long as you're sitting under deliverance and receiving and being open, you're going to get more and more deliverance. What I love about it is it taught me how to separate the spirit from the person that the spirit was in. That was so helpful to me because it's like, oh, now I know how God can love us unconditionally. He loves us, not our, you know, the demons he doesn't like, but he loves us, but he gave us power and he gave us provision to get rid of those things in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something. Deliverance is the last frontier of the church. It's the last thing that's going to come in because the church cannot be the church without deliverance. So I'm excited. And, you know, I always ask the Lord, Lord, you know, every person that's going to be there, what do they need to hear? And then I just go on about my business, and he begins to give it to me. Well, he was giving it to me, but I was thinking, you know, in terms of deliverance, and I know why this message was given, because all the things that they've already cast out, you know, Jeremiah chapter 1 was the word to me by the Lord. I didn't say, but Lord, I'm but a child. I said, I can't do that. I'm a woman. I left skid marks in a dirt road by my house one day when he told me what he told me. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. You got me in the middle of male chauvinist country here. These men are not going to listen to a woman. So I told him no. And I had to go back and repent for that. And I told him, I said, I'll never say no to you again, Lord. What am I looking for? Jeremiah. Thank you. Jeremiah chapter 1. And this has been happening. This has been happening here with each of the women that have shared. He said, see, well, let's do 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over kingdoms to root out. See, I've been rooted out. Those demons, the spirits that they've dealt with have been rooted out, pulled down, destroyed, thrown down. But what he gave me was to build and to plant. So we're going to build and plant tonight because, you know, one of the other things that I love about deliverance is, well, warfare. I should say warfare. Deliverance will help you with warfare. When you get the tormentors out of you, then you can have dominion over them. But I got tired of life happening to me. Life just happened to me. Lots of things I just walked out my life and things just happened to me. And I got tired of things happening to me. I used to leave to go somewhere, and my car would break down every single time. And, oh, yes, I know that's the opposition, and the Lord would send angels to help me. But, you know, I even got tired of that. Why have to be on the side of the road asking God to send you an angel? And he always did. Always. He'll meet you wherever you are. But I sure like it here better than I liked it back there. And my prayer was, Lord, if I can shorten anybody's journey, that's my desire. It took me 35, I don't remember how long, 1977, do the math. Anyway, since that time, life happened to me. But when I came into deliverance and authority and power, my life has changed. And a lot of that nonsense happens no more. Now, there still is nonsense, but it's not my nonsense. It's in people around me, but, you know, that's their journey. And God just told me to live and move and have my being in his presence, be about what he called me to do, and leave the rest of the mess to him. And I said, I can do that. But, you know, then there came the day where I was so full of grief and sorrow over things that happened in our family. Satan came to our house. hail came to our house in 1997. And it broke my heart. Because it showed me one thing. I mean, I was, okay, I'm going to tell you this little story. It'll give you all the insight you need into who I am. When Mike and I were first married, we bought a house 6 months into our marriage. And there was a lady who lived behind us. And she had a beautiful garden in her backyard. Our fences met, little yards. And I was outside one day, and we met at the fence. And she said, "Now listen, don't ever buy green onions at the store because, you see, I have a garden full." So, and I said, "Well, don't tell me that unless you really mean it, because I'm going to be calling you. I like green onions." She said, "Anytime." So she would meet me at the fence. They'd be all washed and beautiful and cleaned and ready to cook. But one day, I met her at the fence, and she had the onions pulled up with a big clot of dirt on the bottom. I thought, she's tired of me calling for green onions. She said, "No, I'm not." She said, "But, you know, these things are so easy to grow. If you have any dirt in your yard, you can just put them in the dirt and grow them." And I said, "I have a little spot, had a little square. My daddy used to garden, but I never did garden. I didn't know anything about growing stuff. I would buy all those little cute little flowers when they first come out, and they'd die, and I'd pull them up and plant some more. Thank goodness it was only a square about this big." So my daddy at the time was dying with cancer, and he could still drive. See, I didn't know about demons then. I don't think my daddy would have died with cancer if I could have cast that demon out of him, you know, but I didn't know about it. Anyway, never mind that. So anyway, he came over one day, and the lady said, "Just cut the tops off and stick them in the ground, and you will have all the green onions you need." And I thought, cool. So I went home, cut the tops off, stuck them in the ground. My daddy comes over for coffee, and he always would see them when I planted, and he saw those green onions sticking out of the ground. He said, "When did you plant those green onions?" "This morning." He's kind of like puzzled. And he goes in the house, and he's stirring his cup of coffee, and he looks over by the sink. He said, "What is that?" I said, "The bottom of those green onions." I thought he was going to die. He started laughing, but he was not, it was not funny to him, but he was laughing, but he said, "I know that nothing that stupid came from my loins." I said, he said, "Don't you know things have to grow from the root?" And I said, "Yes, Daddy. But she told me to cut the tops off and stick them in the ground, and that is exactly what I did. She got a yard full of them. She ought to know." So now you know that I am a very literal thinker. You have to be very careful what you say to me. And, you know, I could go on and on with stories like that. But, and then when I realized it, I think, how in the world? You know, And I don't tell you that so you don't think, "Well, I'm not going to listen to anything she has to say." No, I told you that because the Word of God is simple. It has taken 2,000 years for people to make it so complicated that people have to go somewhere else for someone to tell them what it says when you can read it yourself. And I was raised in a Methodist church, and I got no word in the Methodist church. I was gang baptized when I went to the third grade with all the other kids. They lined us all up and sprinkled us and sent us on our way. Well, anyway, I got saved at home reading my word. The Word of God, it says that you think that salvation is in them, and it is. It's the Word of God. God said he sent his word, and this is his word. And you don't have to travel all these places if you want to know. You can jot down the scripture, but in Hebrews, this was just so wonderful to me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 is talking about Jesus, and it says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." The word of his power. Now, I used to say the power of the word, but it is the word of his power. This is the word of God's power. So when we believe the word and we act on the word, we step into his power. I love that. And I, too, love the Word of God. Okay, so for this message is called Tools for These Times. Because what happened to me when hell came to my house, I learned really quickly that I did not know how to fight. And I would venture to say that there are many in this room who do not know how to fight. You know how to pray, but you don't know how to fight. When the enemy comes, we just get beat up and bullied. There's a word in here. I did a word study on another word, and it means bully. I didn't even make that connection when you brought up the bully. I was going over my notes, and I thought, look at that. But, you know, we do. The devil bullies us. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, he's going to bully you. How many of you in here are saved and born again and have Jesus Christ in you? How many? All right. Okay, you know those songs we sang? Powerful songs. And we sing them with such force and conviction. But when we get out there, we forget what we sang about his power. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. I love that. But it is time to start exercising your power. James said, if you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're deceived. Okay? We don't want to be deceived. My son, if y'all don't know my story, my oldest son was kidnapped. He was taken hostage by the Mormon church. He joined the Mormon church. He's a very righteous young man, and so the devil came to him with rebellion and all that, and he was too righteous to be rebellious and get into drugs and all that stuff. And so the devil appealed to his self-righteousness. See, the devil, he's slick. He doesn't care how he gets you. If he can't get you with bad stuff, well, he'll get you with good stuff. He'll make you so busy with religion, you won't even get to God. He's slick. And he has power. He has power. God has more power. I heard, I don't know if I heard it, a testimony, or read the book, but it was about a witch who had converted to Christianity. And do you know what converted her? She was assigned with some other witches to go to this minister's home to do some kind of damage. And they got there, and there were angels standing around the property. This is where I got this prayer. To stand the angels shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder. That no evil penetrate. Because they went to that house. And when they got there, there were mighty angels standing around that property. Shoulder to shoulder. And they could not penetrate it. And she thought, well, if they have more power than this, I want that power. So that's what caused her to convert. Witches can be converted. And when we're not talking about people who have a spirit of witchcraft in them. We're talking about the witch, the spirit of the witch. God said, I suffer a witch not to live. He is serious about that because they have pledged their allegiance to Satan. And believe me, they are our enemies. Now, we can pray for this. We can bind the spirit of the witch that may allow the person to come out of witchcraft. We're not talking about the person, but we're talking about the demon. That's deliverance. We're not talking, you know, sometimes I talk to people, there was a girl here, I said, don't listen to what we're praying, we're not talking to you. You said that too. We're talking to the demons. But, you know, sometimes the flesh gets involved with that. You know, there's a spirit of offense that rises up. I'll never forget, I brought a woman and a bunch of women with her. Not my church. It was a different church. And Dr. Noel was praying for her, and he started to call out the spirit of Antichrist, and she was so offended. She left, and she's not been back. Now, I didn't get it either. At that time, I didn't understand the spirit of Antichrist, you know. But there are things that in our ancestors, like my papa was a Mason, it has an Antichrist spirit with it. In fact, when my son joined the Mormon church, I don't have time to tell you that story, but I was devastated. And it was like, Lord, how could this happen? Well, my papa was a Mason. And there's deception. It's deception. It's idolatry. There's an antichrist spirit. And that seed is in my seed. And it's a serious thing. So I like to break that antichrist spirit, because there are religions who have antichrist spirits in them. You know, from time to time, I mention an aunt that I have who is a Baptist, and she's a precious lady. But we had to quit talking about spiritual things, especially when I got into deliverance. She thinks I'm up here in some kind of a satanic cult thing. She really does, because she has no understanding, no understanding. Well, anyway, she was in the hospital recently. She was sick unto death, really. She had C. diff. I don't know if any of y'all, do you know what, is that what it's called, C. diff? It's a deadly bacterial infection. And she was very near death. And she was in intensive care, and the first night she was there, I mean, I could tell something. She was terrified. She was really terrified. Because the first night she was there, two people died. You know, they're using the crash cart. She's hearing all of this stuff. She's sick. She's wondering if she's going to die because she was sick unto death. And a demon walked in her room. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. I didn't say anything because I'll wait for her. I'll just wait. But it's hard to deny that there are demons when one walks into your room. And she knew that it was death. So one of my other aunts says, well, what did you do? Well, I started praying and quoting scriptures. And see, because the church she's in, they don't go there. She doesn't know that in the name of Jesus she could cast that thing out of her room, command it to go in the name of Jesus. That's how easy it is. You know, and deliverance is not rocket science either. It's very simple. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, break your power, and command you to go. And you know what? We are living in times that demons are going to start manifesting. I'm not even talking about like somebody in here having a manifestation of a demon. I'm talking about the demon itself. They're going to start manifesting. And we better know what to do when they show up. And God told me about 4 or 5 years ago to stop being polite to the devil. And I want to tell you, when your children misbehave, spank them, whatever, but at the same time, bind the demon of whatever they're doing. If it's anger, bind that spirit of anger and command it to go. Break its power off of your child. Of course, I will have to warn you that if you have the same one, it's not going to leave, because Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub. You need to get rid of it yourself first. But when you get free of something, you can cast it out of your children. And I would recommend you do that. Maybe, you know, I'll tell you the very first experience I had with deliverance, and I didn't even know it was deliverance. I was severely depressed when I was pregnant with my third child, my last baby girl, Katie. And I cried every day. I can remember being about 5 months pregnant and sobbing so hard that I was afraid I was going to cause myself to miscarry. And I didn't want that, but I was so sick with depression, just sick. The devil's been trying to kill me for a very long time. He really has. I mean, I had a surgery. I hemorrhaged, almost died. Got bit by 2 brown recluse spiders. It almost killed me, but it didn't, you know. He's out to kill you. Make no mistake. He is out to kill you. But by the end of this night, he's going to have less of a chance to do that, because we have power over him. There are some people, when you start to bind the devil, don't do that. You know, and I'm thinking, why? Jesus said that we have power over all. Not just part of it, all these demons, but not that one. Not the chief. Oh, yes, all. All the power of the enemy. And if you don't know that, you better get it. Because you're going to need it. Because he's out to kill you. If he doesn't kill you physically, he'll kill the gift of God in you, like Sharon said. And that's what he wants to do, too. He wants to shut you up. And, you know, through the understanding of how demons work, I have so much more understanding now. I used to think, you know, PKs, these preacher's kids, I used to think it was because the man of God was so busy with his church that he neglected his family. That's not true. It might be in some cases, but it's not the truth. Because when he came to my house, because God had given me, I knew what God had called me to do. But the very minute that I really realized that, all hell broke loose in my home. And so it was like I took a sucker punch from Satan. That's what I'm talking about. Did not know how to fight. I had no clue. He sucker punched me, and for a year I was useless. It was like I was laying on the ground going, couldn't even catch my breath because of the terrible things that were happening in my family. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I love the Lord. I believed I had, you know, I saw the promises and I did the promises. And how is this happening? It took me to a very bad place, although good came from it. If you love the Lord, those bad things can bring you to a good place. But if you don't have to go to those bad places, let's don't go to those bad places. No, let's not. We don't have to. But God told me, he said, after a while, he said, let me tell you what's going on here. I've given you a work to do. You've been doing it for years. Satan's tried to stop you. But I knew, when you know that you know that you know, you don't get distracted with stuff. But when he moves into your children, I was sorely distracted because I had the belief that if I trained them up in the way they should go, they would not depart from it. See, like the green onions, very literal. Well, when he departed from it, and there were problems in the home which contributed to that. My husband was not a disciplinarian. I was a classic Jezebel. He was a classic Ahab, and the house was a mess. It was a mess. But anyway, he was not a disciplinarian, so that was a factor. And God said, no, I said, well, Lord, so what else am I believing that's not true? That's where it took me, see. Satan was right there to say, hey, all that stuff, that's bunk, you know. And he was messing with me, with my faith. I mean, I had strong faith, but when this came, I didn't know how to handle it. And that's why I want you to know how to fight. I want you to recognize the devil when he comes. I want you to stand up and take the authority that you have and use it against him. And I'll tell you what he's real busy with right now is distraction. Distraction. See, I had a dream in 2007 about a crocodile. And I was on this island, and the water was crystal clear, and there was a deck that went out like this. It was about 4 feet wide, about this high off the water, no rails or anything. But the water inside the square was black like oil. And there were some people on the right pier over there, but their backs were to me. I was going to go join them, and I got about halfway up that deck, and I was looking at the people, but in this water, just, you know how crocodiles are, it just kind of floated up in the oily water just rolled off of its back, and it was the biggest crocodile I've ever seen. Its stomach was about 4 feet wide, and the rest of it was as big crocodile. And I was going to scream for the people to look, and before I could do anything, that crocodile moved like a flash of light and ate a man whole, one chomp, just opened its mouth and swallowed, and it was the leader. See, and I know that this was a prophetic dream. It had a lot of different meanings to me, but okay, so now he ate the man. The people scattered. I'm frozen in fear. A crocodile is now back in the water, and there's those little eyes, or big eyes, just looking at me. And I thought, I'm next on the menu. And there was no use to run, no use to scream. The thing was supernatural evil. And so then I just felt this momentary terror. I was just frozen in terror. But the next minute, something rose up in me, and I just went, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And when I did that, his legs folded to the body, and it rolled over, and it was dead. Now, see, God can train us with something that simple. Dr. Null used to tell this story. that the first time he really dealt with a demon, it was in his bedroom, and it was dark, but he could see. He opens his eyes, and he sees in his bedroom door these two eyes. And it was a huge tarantula. It came in one leg at a time, and it filled up his whole bedroom, and it was standing over his bed. And he said, "Mighty man of God that I am." I put my hand under the covers. But while he had his head under the covers, the Lord said to him, "You know, you can bind that thing." And he said, "I can." So he goes, "I bind you." He said, "In the name of Jesus, I bind you." And he said these huge angels came carrying these huge chains, and they just wrapped that thing up, and whoosh, off it went. Now, see, sometimes when you first start using your authority and stuff, you're going to feel like an idiot. You know, because we're not used to speaking to spiritual things. One of the first things that I started doing was taking dominion. I was driving down one of our dirt roads, and things are always jumping out. A rabbit, an armadillo, a vulture, a deer, you know, dog, whatever. And at that time, the way I drove, you couldn't stop fast enough. I don't drive that fast anymore. But anyway, I was driving down the road, and this buzzard comes flying out, and I just knew it was going to hit the windshield because one windshield had already been busted by a big bird. And so I just kind of, because there's nowhere to go. You know, there's little dirt embankments. You know, you're just in the rut of the road, and you can't go anywhere. So I just kind of squinched my eyes and held on to the, and it missed, and I was so glad. But at the same time, out of my mouth flew these words: "I take dominion over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth, and in Jesus' name I command them to stay out of my roadway." That just came out. I was like, see, that's why it's good to read the word. I couldn't have thought of that on my own, but it came out, and I heard it, and I said, "Oh, I like that. Dominion. I like that." I didn't even know what it was. I got home, and I did a word study on the word dominion. Okay, well, before we go any further, I want to read you a scripture. It's John 14:27, and Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And that word troubled means disturbed and agitated. We have many, many disturbed and agitated hearts these days. Okay? In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the world," you probably already figured this out, "in the world you shall have tribulation." And that means pressure, affliction, anguish, burdens, persecution, and trouble. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I," said Jesus, "have overcome the world." Now the word overcome, it's in the means of conquering, of conquest. And that word means to subdue, prevail, and get the victory. Okay, a while ago, I think it was Patty who said, all these women that are getting all of this knowledge and all of this stuff. See, that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 11:12. He says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force." Now, I have the definitions in my, "and the violent take it by force. Violence, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence." That means trouble and pressure. See, same as tribulation, trouble and pressure. "And the violent," and that word means vitally active, energetic, and forceful. That is a definition of the church, or should be. Should be. Not the poor, the beat up, the sick, the depressed, the suicidal, the divorced, you know. All those things. The church has a long way to go, and deliverance is going to help that, because you cannot be vitally active, energetic, and forceful when you're sick, beat up, poor, you know, marriage troubles, all that stuff. take it by force. And that word means going after and not stopping till you get it. What is the it? The kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, if I, with the finger of God, cast out demons, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you or is in your midst or something like that. But that's what the kingdom of heaven is healing the sick, preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. We stopped with the gospel of salvation, pitched our tents, and had church. Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead, and preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be. That was the commission then. It's the commission now. And like all these other women who thought they were all alone and asking all those questions, why are we seeing this? What are we waiting for? Well, too many of us have been waiting for God to do it. You know, that's why he's already done it. That's how I got healed of allergies. I was in his face because I got sick twice a year. I was so sick of getting sick. Most of all, it's because I would lose my voice. And that's terrible for me because I love to talk. I would lose my voice. But see, he's after your voice. He's after your voice. So I had read the scripture one day about the leper that went to Jesus and said, if you wanted to, you could heal me. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou healed. Be thou cleansed. And immediately he was cleansed. So I'm like driving somewhere with fever, a horrible cough, had already been to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, taken two rounds of medication. I was like the woman with the issue of blood. I did every, you know, I've been to many doctors. Well, my doctor suffered, you know, his shots and all his stuff, took his nasty medicine, and it didn't work. And I'm still sick. And every year, twice a year, I had that. Generationally inherited allergies. And I said to the Lord, I was driving my car somewhere because I was going to go to the mall and look at some antiques or something that was only there once a year, and I was always sick. And I thought, I'll show the devil. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to go sick. Well, was that a good time? No. I probably shouldn't have gone. But anyway, I'm on my way to the mall. And I'm thinking about that leper. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to say to you what the leper said. If you wanted to, you could heal me. I'm sick of being sick twice a year. And so, what did he say to me? I'm all right. No, he didn't. He didn't whisper. He said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. And can I tell you something? Everything you get from God, you have to receive it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's a gift. He did it on the cross. He shed every drop of his blood so we could be healed. And, you know, last January, he told me some specific things. And I have two Bible studies that I lead down where my mom lives. She's 80 miles from us, but anyway, I knew people there when I lived there. And so God said to me, you know, that all those ladies in your Bible study are taking some kind of prescription drug to tolerate an infirmity in their body. He said, I want my people healed. Yeah. So now every time I go to Bible study, that's the first thing we do. We address the infirmities. We're going to address it. I'm going to be vitally active, energetic, and forceful. And I'm going to go after that healing that belongs to them. And I'm not going to stop until they get it. That's how we should be after the things of God. It is our inheritance. He already gave it to us. What are we waiting for? It's time to use it. Time to use it. Okay. Now listen to this. Here's the question. Why should we be of good cheer because he has overcome the world? Good for you. You know, I mean, that's how, okay, I walk in divine health. Well, good for you. You know, I'm happy for you. I take this medicine. I'm glad for you. No, the thing about it is that word cheer, you know, I've started looking up words that I thought I knew the meaning of. Let me tell you what the word cheer, good cheer. Cheer means daring, boldness, and courage. Can you believe that? It doesn't mean jolly happy. Yay, yay, yay. No. Daring, boldness, and courage. I like that. That's what he wants us to be. In 1 John 4:17, this, now I can be getting myself in trouble here, but I'm going to read it because that's what the word says. 1 John 4:17. Because we have to know who we are. This is just the introduction. I want you to know who you are. He says, this is 1 John, so John is saying, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so you're going to be when you get to heaven with him. No, now. Now. It says that in Philippians 2, 5, and 6, it says of Jesus, Philippians 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's why when I pray for people who are having confusion and mental problems, if they're a Christian, I activate the mind of Christ. Because the word says, you have the mind of Christ. It's a spiritual mind in our flesh body. Who, Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, God says some things to us that other religious people have scared us. You better not be saying that. Well, I didn't, actually. John did. John said that. Okay? I'm just telling y'all what John said. I'm telling y'all some things that we must begin to embrace who we are in Christ Jesus. He's in us. He's in us. And you know what? He needs a body because he went to be with the Father. Back to Matthew 11:12, and back to what Patty said, that all these women, when they are empowered, the devil is going to be screaming. Well, he was screaming when that scripture was written because John the Baptist came proclaiming the one, Jesus Christ, who would defeat him. So it was really important to Satan to kill him. Let's get him crucified because he's going to cause me trouble. Little did he know that when Jesus left, he was going to send himself into all those who would believe. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. Big John. John chapter 1, verse 12. Well, let's start at 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Do you believe? Then you have power. No matter how you feel. And let me tell you something. This is something else the devil is using. That distraction, that dream. One of the things that it said to me was, beware distractions. Because those people were distracted from this ominous looking water. They were distracted. And while they weren't looking, the enemy came up and ate the man, the leader. So that said to me, beware distractions. Don't let things distract you. And I'm going to tell you how to do that after a while. But we have power to become the sons of God. Look at Romans chapter 8. And what does it say about the sons of God? I'm hearing Glenn right now. The sons of God. Yes. It says in verse 16. Let's go to 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, that's important. We do need to be led by the Spirit. You know, Paul said, I put my body under subjection. I've started doing that. That's one of my prayers. Lord, I put my body under subjection today. You start talking to your body. No. Flesh, you have ruled me the first 50 years of my life. No more. I subject you to the spirit man that's in me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. God showed me, your spirit woman is greater than the woman that's walking around and touching this world. The spirit woman in you is greater. So, because Jesus Christ is in us. We all have a spirit woman. If I drop dead right now, my clothes and my flesh would fall to the ground. But my spirit would be standing erect. We have a spirit body. The Holy Ghost has a spirit body. In Luke chapter 3, or is it Luke 22? Luke chapter 3, I think. It says, 3:22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, not in the form of a dove. It says, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. It moved through the air without assistance. Like a bird. But our minds can't grasp that. But we can grasp the dove. We have the dove everywhere, you know. I bet there wasn't even a dove there. I know. We love the dove. We think the dove is not a stork that carried. Here comes the Holy Ghost. In a napkin. By the dove. No. It was a bodily shape. I said, Lord, what shape was that? And he said, well, where was it going? I said, to Jesus. Well, it was shaped like Jesus. The Holy Ghost that filled me is not going to be shaped like Goliath. I would have Holy Ghost hanging out of me. No. Listen, he takes the form of the vessel. If you had three glasses up here and they were all different shapes, water is water. You pour it into the glass, it takes the shape of the glass. See? Okay. I just want to get that straight about the dove. We love the dove. But it is not the Holy Ghost. Okay? Let's see, that was a little detour. When Jerry was saying something the other day, she said, this is not in my lesson, but I'm going to tell you this. Well, one time, I would chase these rabbits. My husband said, don't chase any rabbits, honey. You chase rabbits. And then I forget where I am. But thankfully, someone is always in the crowd that remembers right where I was. So I hope y'all remember where I was. But anyway, a friend of mine that I love dearly, Gail Patton, I said, I'm sorry for chasing that rabbit. I don't even know where I was. She said, sometimes them rabbits got meat on them. Which is true. And it's true. There may be somebody here who won't remember anything else I say but the rabbit that I chased. But thank God you remembered something. Okay. Subject your body. That's right. Okay, look at John. Okay, we were at John 1. Okay, I digressed over there. Okay, but no, I'm going to go back to John 1. I didn't finish reading all of those. Come on, John. Yeah. Okay, no, it's in my notes somewhere. I'm just totally not even in my notes. Okay, John, okay, it says, but as many as received him, to those that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, see, you can't with your own will be born again, nor of the will of man, I can't save anybody or get them saved, but of God. Now look down in 15. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received. We have received his fullness. We didn't receive just a piece of Jesus. We have the whole Jesus in us, along with the Holy Ghost and God. Because didn't Jesus say, thou in me, and I in thee, and we in them? See, we don't really get that. We don't get it. And he showed me one time when I was thinking on these things, and I had this open vision of me walking across my living room. And there were three young men in the corner over there. And when I was walking by, they were cutting up like three young men would. And when I was walking by, they saw me and they were acting terrified and were getting all in the corner like they were trying to get into the sheetrock. And I walked by and I thought, what's your problem? I didn't say it, but I thought it. And then they came out and they were high-fiving and celebrating each other and saying, she doesn't know. She doesn't know. They were happy that I did not know. I didn't know what it was that I didn't know. I said, Lord, well, what does she mean not know? And he said that when you walked by there, those were demons, see. God's been showing me in my dreams sometimes when three show up, they're demonic. Because you know what? They copy everything God does. They're hoping you'll think it's God. It's a deception. You got to watch that. But anyway, he said, they didn't even see you. They saw me. They saw my son Jesus. They saw the Holy Ghost. All of us. And they were terrified. See, the demons know and they tremble. And we're walking around demons all the time. And they're freaking out. But we don't even know that we have his fullness in us. You know what? I was telling one of the Bible studies one day. I said, let me tell you what's fixing to happen, ladies. I want you to be ready for it. People are going to start putting a demand on the Jesus in you. Because the world is fixing to get crazy. And people are going to be freaking out. And they're going to put a demand on the Jesus in you. The very next day, let me back up a minute because I've never shared this part about that vision that I had. Mara, for those of you who know Mara, I don't know if it's Alzheimer's or what took her mind, but something took her mind. And they used to bring her into the early morning prayer meeting because Richard is her husband. And they would sit her on the front row and she would sit there the entire time. Well, one time, it was right after, it was only about 2 weeks after God showed me that, everybody had left from praying in the morning, and Mara was sitting, and I went and sat down beside her, and I patted her on the leg, and I said, Mara, what would you like God to do for you? And sometimes she would be there, and sometimes she wouldn't. She goes, she was Samoan from the islands, and she had that accent. He's done so much already. I said, but he's not finished. What would you like for him to do for you? She goes, you know, they don't see you. They see him. And I went, I was probably like, Balaam. What? Did I hear what I just think I heard? I mean, I got chills when I just said it. I'm not into chills. Chills do not verify anything for me. I might have a cold. But anyway, I couldn't believe my ears. I said, what did you say? She said, they don't see you. They see him. And I went, okay, I'm going to go eat breakfast now. I got out of there. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. But anyway, there it was. Okay, so now I told my prayer group, they're going to put a demand on the Jesus in you. So the next day I'm meeting a friend for lunch in a Chinese food restaurant. And I walk in and I come in the door and there's tables over there and there's tables over there, but I walked down the middle because she was sitting back there at that table. Well, she worked, so as soon as the hour was up, she had to leave. So I was leaving a tip and I was getting up and walking back, and I guess he came in after us, or I just, you know, I'm so focused on what I'm doing, I don't see a lot of stuff around me. But anyway, there was a man in a wheelchair, an old man in a wheelchair. and there was a woman sitting at the table with him. And I don't know how he snagged me. He was like Professor Gadget. Go-go gadget arm, you know. I was walking by, and all of a sudden he had my arm, and he had me at his chair. And I said, "Hi, do I know you?" Well, I didn't know this man. Well, anyway, I was just kind of puzzled. And so he's got a hold on my hand. He was sick. He had some kind of disease. Well, anyway, he's trying to maneuver my hand, and the lady, she says, "Well, honey, do you work at a medical office?" And I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "I don't even live here." I was in my mother's town. But anyway, so she's just talking to me, and the whole time he's got my hand, and he's trying to put it on top of his head. And I said, "You know, if I didn't know better, I would think that he is wanting me to pray for it." He's putting a demand on the Jesus in me. I'm not kidding. See, the demon of sickness, the infirmity, knows. But the man is being held hostage by this sickness. So I prayed for him. I bound the spirit of death. I said, so he's got his hand on top of my head, on his head. And I said, "Well, what's the matter with him?" "Well, he had a stroke, but he had Alzheimer's before he had the stroke. And now, you know, he can't talk or he can't communicate or anything." And I just thought, "I hate you, devil. I hate you." You know, that's how I felt. I hate infirmity. I hate cancer. I hate strokes. I hate autism. I hate all these things that are afflicting God's people. And so I broke the curse of death off of him. I broke the spirit of infirmity off of him. I put my hands on him. All this is going. Mike said, "You're doing all of that in China Inn?" I said, "Yes, I did, honey. I did. And I hope one day I'll be bold enough to stick with it till he comes out of the chair healed." You know, I don't know what happened after I left. He might be healed. That's none of my business. I just did what we're supposed to do. Jesus told the disciples, the 70 he sent out, he said, "And whatever city you enter into, heal their sick." He didn't say go pray for them. He said heal them. He gave them power. He's given us power. He's in you. He's the healer. He's the healer. This is his word. This is the word of his power. Now, I used to be kind of concerned about that in Mark. Chapter 16, I want to show you something God showed me about the anointing. Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them," this is right before he ascends into heaven, "he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth," see now my Baptist aunt and I have had a conversation, he was talking to the disciples. I said, "Yeah, but listen what he said to the disciples. He that believeth." He that believeth, he that believeth, the word that they go out and preach, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. What if right now Jesus showed up and said, "Okay, I'm looking for my people. How many of you have cast out demons in my name?" Let me see a show of hands. Good. That's pretty good. But it's not all. Now, a while ago when I said, "How many of you have Jesus Christ in you?" Everybody raised their hands. See the difference? If we believe, these signs will follow us. But you have to do them. You can't just know about it. You have to do it. And you will. See, I did a teaching here one time on who do you judge God to be. It says that judgment will begin at the house of God. Are we the house of God? Then the way we live our lives is a judgment. Our judgment as to who God really is. If he really is who he says he is, we would be doing these things. "And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This is the part that I had not seen until a later time. "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth. They went forth. I send you forth. Go forth. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord. Now, this is what happens when you're preaching the word of his power. The Lord is right there. When you're preaching his word, he shows up. He's right there. See, people used to say, well, are you anointed to do that? Hey, Jesus is in me. He's the anointed one. And if he's in me, I'm anointed. That's right. If you're waiting for something to come on you, you missed it because he's in you. When they went forth and preached, the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word with signs following. Amen. And that's what will happen to you. You can't wait till you feel it. A while ago, I started to say, that's another thing. People call me, well, I'm just feeling like this and I'm just feeling like that. And I said, you know what I'm hearing? Feeling, feeling, feeling. You know, Satan works in our flesh. We're not supposed to live by our feelings. And let me tell you, Satan's looking for someone to come into agreement with his word. You're a loser. I just feel like a loser. We've come in agreement with his word. And let me tell you, from there, it's the yellow ball. See it? Remember the yellow ball?
Yeah.
That's where you're going to end up. You want to be a yellow ball? Deflated at that. No. No. So when we go, he meets us there. And the anointing is there to do whatever he said do. It's there. You know, one time, you know, because I hear things, and I'm like, yeah, where is that? I'm looking for it. This is the word of his power, is it not? Do I need to hear a voice from heaven? Well, some people do. He's just looking for someone to obey his word. Obey his word. I didn't have any of that stuff that people talk about needing before I went. I just went, and signs followed. Prayed for a little boy. That's where I met Gene and Colonel Williams in Georgia. He had autism. Couldn't even talk. Couldn't even look at you. He's just, you know, I thought he was blind because his eyes are just, you know, he has no control over them. And God said, it was a foster child. Gene's sister had this foster child, three of them. And God told me that the children were prisoners of war. Their parents lost the battle, and they were taken prisoners of war. And that autism had him locked in a prison. Well, that's all I heard from God, so I shared it. So he brings me up. I mean, you talk about unprepared. The Lord, Miss Bittad, he calls me, Miss Bittad, had a word of knowledge from the Lord. I went, what? That wasn't a word of knowledge? You know? I just was telling him what God said. Okay, so what I'd like for you to do is come up here, and I just want you to have liberty to do whatever you feel like God would have you do. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You do it. You know, it's scary at first. But I had learned about arrested development. Because one time I was up here at camp, and my son got put in jail for marijuana. I thought, Lord, he is 24 years old. And he's still getting in trouble for like 14 to 16-year-old stuff. He said, yeah, but mentally, socially, he is the age that he started smoking marijuana. That's where it stops. Same with alcohol. Same with traumatic sexual experiences. Everything the devil does will stunt. He's out to stunt your growth so you can't come into full maturity so you can do the works that Jesus did. That's the plan. So I just prayed for the little boy. She called me 6 months later, and he is in regular classes. He's learning to read. He's singing. He knows everybody by name. He's a normal kid. That's a miracle. Now, what would have happened if I hadn't obeyed? He'd still be autistic. See, the demand is going to be put on the Jesus in you. We are the gift. The gift of Jesus is in us, and now we are the gift to the world. And there's going to be a demand being put on us because of the things that are fixing to happen. Okay, so my very first thing, and I said all of this, and there was more down here, but we don't have time to get into that. But if you're not settled in who you are in Christ, you'll be in fear, doubt, unbelief, intimidation, ineffective, and eventually defeated. Mm-hmm. Bullied. And that's what he did. He came to my house and he bullied me and he bullied my son and he bullied my husband and he bullied our kids and he bullied our finances and he bullied everything until God said, I've given you a work to do and he's trying to shut you up and he hasn't been able to shut you up. So now he's moved into your children because that's where your heartstrings are. And then he showed me how America is in idolatry with their children. Our children are little gods. Oh, we just worship those little gods. And I love my children as much as the next person, but they're not gods. And I told them one day, they are self-destructing, a couple of them. They're not going to because God's already shown me. But I told them one day, I said, let me tell you something. Jesus gave his life for you. I'm not willing to give my life for you. Jesus already did it. I'm not going to die for you. Because they were killing everything. Satan's been trying to destroy our marriage since we got married. First with Jezebel, then with Ahab, then with the kids. You know, it's a miracle we're even together. A miracle. And by the way, I've told y'all before, you know, it used to hurt me. I'd be so wounded because Mike never gave me a gift or a card. I got a Valentine's card this year. Oh, yes. I've been taking care of the infirm for a year and a half now, and I've been out of the house. Well, back and forth. But, you know, I said, as long as we meet in the middle, we'll be fine. But anyway, he gave me a Valentine card. Okay, so we need to know who we are. Here's one of the tools I want to tell you is dominion. You have it. Dominion means subdue. Remember over here when it said, I have overcome the world? It means subdue. Subdue. He wants us to be overcomers. All the promises in Revelation are to the overcomers, not to the overcome. Which one do you want to be? All right. It's time. So we're going to use dominion. See, it, in the very first chapter of Genesis, we have dominion. And I want to point out another thing in this first chapter of Genesis. He's taken me to Genesis so many times, my Bible's fallen apart in Genesis. Okay, it says, verse 26. Well, I'll just do these both together. Okay, in verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Y'all know the story. And God said, verse 3. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. 11, and God said. 14, and God said. 20, and God said. 24, and God said. 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. Wow. Have we been missing it? Let me tell you, ungodly people know about dominion. They are taking dominion over the weather. They're taking dominion over the government. Let me tell you, we have been asleep, church. It's time to wake up. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. One day I thought, you know, my children creepeth upon the earth. Hey, remember, I'm literal. And that serves me well when it comes to the things of God. Because he is too. He literally means that you have all his fullness. He means that. Okay? So we have dominion. What I was saying, and God said, and then he created us in his image after his likeness, and he gave us dominion. So if he said and it was, what happens when we say? Look out. Another thing God told me last January, and what I started out to say, all these testimonies, I love the December camp because New Year's Eve, it's the testimony time. And I didn't get to come because I was keeping the infirm. No, I take that back. We were in Colorado with our son. Anyway, I didn't get to come, and I missed it. So I got to hear it tonight, all the testimonies. See? Isn't God good? He redeemed it. Okay. So if God says, and it is, then what we say is, watch your mouth. God told me last January, he said, very specifically, and it applies to all of us, stop rehearsing the hell. Keep in your mouth concerning your children what I have told you about your children. Now that calls for a new level for me, because it says in Joel that in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all men, and his sons and his daughters. Now we've already established we are. If he's in you, you are a son of God. That just flew off. Yes, we prophesy. And let me tell you, that's not rocket science either. Let me give you an example. Look at Exodus chapter 14. Now, God told me when I was laying on the floor going, I was praying every day, Lord, my children, my children, my children, my children, you know. And he said, this is what he said, why are you coming to me with that? And I'm like, what? Who else is there? And I remembered, he interrupted me. I was praying, and God interrupted me.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.